Thank you for saving us, Lord, that you've done a wonderful thing in giving yourself to be our Redeemer. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, you've given us your word, the Bible, Lord, that we needn't be in the dark and how you want us to live, to know and understand the great things that you've done and the amazing promises that you've made on our behalf. So, Lord, I ask you bless us as we look again at your word tonight and give us light and help of your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight is a substantial amount of conversation with Jesus, really. It's Jesus talking about himself, so that can't be bad, can it? And it's John chapter 5. It all stems from the fact that Jesus had healed that man at the pool, and he'd done it on the Sabbath, and that sort of kicked off a reaction by the authorities, and they get rather upset about it all. So, where have we got to? Verse 19, yes.
So,
chapter 5. Well, just pick up verse 18. This is the end of that section dealing with the issue that it raised, that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and then said he was only doing what his father does. Yeah. For this reason, the Jews tried to kill him all the harder to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, which he wasn't, remember I said that? Mm-hmm. He was breaking their rules, he wasn't breaking the Sabbath, yeah? Mm-hmm. But he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus gave them this answer: I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So Jesus there is saying something about himself and his relationship to his Father. Yeah? That he's acting the same way his Father does. Now, they wouldn't like that, of course, but Jesus is saying what he does is consistent with the will of his Father, because he and the Father are one, of course. And this is what John's trying to get us to realise, of course, yeah? So, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. So there it is, yeah? Jesus is resting in the love of his Father. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And I'd like to say that's where we should be as well. Yeah? There's security in that. You know, you needn't be worried about what lots of other people might be thinking or saying if you're secure in the Father's love. Yeah? Mm-hmm. Well, Jesus, in a very special way, knew that. And as a result, Father is revealing to him what the next step of his plan is for him. You know, Jesus is living according to the direction of his Father. Right, and then he says this: for the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. Right, so what were the things that he's already shown him? The miracles that he's done. Yeah, the man was healed at the pool and the various other miracles that they'd seen of Jesus. But he says, you're going to see even greater things than these. So what greater things?
Lazarus.
And as we'll see, a bit more besides that. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Now, what kind of life is that?
Eternal.
It's eternal life. It's spiritual life to start with. So we're going to get to the physical side, but it starts with eternal life in the Spirit. Yes. Yeah? So just as Father gives life, Jesus is commissioned by Father to give spiritual life to those whom he is pleased to give it.
Living.
It's the living water, yes. Now, here's a big challenge, and it's one of the things that comes out in John's Gospel time and again. We see the sovereignty of God. Yeah? Jesus gives what he wants to whom he wants to. Yeah, and you can't argue with that, I'm afraid, but that's how it is. Yeah? If you've received eternal life, it's because Jesus wanted to give it to you. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. He must love you. Yeah. That's good, yeah. Right, so, moreover, next bit, that's so he's one that can give spiritual life, that's the living water. And then, moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. Right? So, what he's saying there is that Jesus has been appointed by Father to be the judge of mankind. You know that, did you?
Yes.
Yeah? He has. Yeah. Right? That's one of the messages that comes out in Acts when Peter's talking to the people and so on. He said about Jesus, he says that Father has appointed him to be the judge of the living and the dead. And Paul says the same. If you're looking, I think it's in Acts about chapter 16. where he's speaking in Athens. Yeah? Somewhere in there. That was chapter 17, yeah? In chapter 17, I should look these references up first, shouldn't I? Yeah? In chapter 17.
Verse 16.
Oh, yes, that bit in Athens, yes, yeah. Right, so they want to hear Paul what he's got to say, right? Right, verse 30. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance. That's their idolatry, yeah? God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. Yeah? So Jesus is going to be the judge. It's good to have the judge on your side, isn't it? But Jesus is going to be the judge of mankind. That's what he's saying there, see? So they're consistent. Yep. The Father judges no one, back to John, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honour the Son just as they honour the Father. Now that's the crunch bit. Mm-hmm. Yes? If you don't give glory to Jesus, then you're not giving glory to the Father. The two are so tied up to each other. Yeah? He who does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. So that excludes Jehovah's Witnesses, all the cults, and everything else. They may be well-intentioned, they may have the best of motives, but if they don't give glory to Jesus, they're not really worshipping God. Yeah? You get that? If you honour the Son, you're honouring the Father as well. And if you don't honour the Son, you're not honouring the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth. Now, when did Jesus never tell the truth? What does he mean by I tell you the truth? He's really, underline this. This is serious, yeah? I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He's crossed over from death to life. It's amazing, isn't it? If you believe what Jesus has said, and you believe that he's been sent by God, so it's believing what Jesus has said, and who he is, he's the Son of God. Yeah. If you do that, you will not be condemned, because you already have eternal life. Yeah. You have, not will have. Mm-hmm. Eternal life begins now. Good news, eh? Mm-hmm. So, you will not be condemned. You can now go, praise the Lord for that. Yeah, because we are all guilty unless we're covered by the blood of Jesus. Yeah? We've crossed over from death to life. It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah? He's brought that as a lovely verse in one of Paul's letters where he says, we've been brought out of darkness into his marvellous light. Yeah. I tell you the truth, the time, again, when he says I tell you the truth, it's amen. That's really what he's saying. Is, yeah? Yeah. I tell you the truth, the time is coming and now has come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. So, the time's coming, right? But it's also here, he says. Why is it here when he's speaking? Because the king is the one of the kingdom. When he's there, the kingdom's there. And he says the dead will hear his voice. And he's already raised some, I should imagine. He's going to raise a few more. Yes, they'll live. But it's more than that. It's spiritual life as well, of course. But he goes on to physical life as well. So, the time is coming when the dead will hear his voice. Were you dead once?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you sure now?
Yeah.
Right. It's in Ephesians, I think it says, where it says, once you were dead in your transgressions and sins, God who made us alive in Jesus. Yeah. So, for as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. So that source of life is in God. Eternal life in God. Yep. Right. He has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Now then, Jesus has been appointed the judge because he is the Son of Man. What does Jesus mean by the phrase the Son of Man? Because he's the Messiah. Yes. The Son of Man doesn't mean he's human. He is human. Right, we know that. But the Son of Man is a reference back to Daniel. Yeah? In Daniel, he has this vision of this Son of Man who comes before God, who's given authority and power and dominion. Yeah? He's Messiah. Yeah? And so Jesus, as the Son of Man, has the authority to judge. Yeah. Do not be amazed at this. Can you imagine their faces when they hear Jesus say this? You know, they don't like it, I guess. Yeah? Do not be amazed at this, for the time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. How about that? That's what we were talking about this morning. That's the general resurrection, yes? Mm-hmm. When the graves are opened and Eastwood Cemetery is out of business.
Like I say, what did we say, just to comfort herself? Margaret, I think, well, she's up in heaven, you know, with the others, and it's fine, she's well away, thank you, Lord.
Yes.
But actually, she's not, she's in that cask. I've got her in my bedroom.
You've got her in your bedroom?
Yeah. She's there, is she in one day, we'll all go up together? Or I'm
now,
if the Lord came back in my tower, I might go up, and she'd be up, go with me.
She's going up with you, yes.
So she's not up there then? So she's
well, her spirit's there. Her spirit's there. Her body is on earth.
Oh, right, spirit.
Right. Well, when we die, this is the problem about human beings are body and spirit, yeah? And what happens is death is unnatural because it splits what God's put together. We created his bodies with spirit, yeah? And when death comes, it splits the body off from the spirit. The body remains, the spirit goes to be with God.
Which I say, we all end up with spirit.
No, we don't.
No.
Because at the end, the graves are going to open and we're going to have resurrection bodies. Yeah? When I say the graves...
The physical bodies.
Yes, physical bodies. But like Jesus' body.
Yeah. Yeah?
He had a real physical body. He could eat, you could touch him, and then he could walk through a door.
Yeah?
Something's different.
Yeah.
And he's never going to die. Yeah? He won't be subject to pain or sorrow or anything like that.
You can't break your leg.
No, things like that. Yes?
No more pain.
So, that's... Sorry?
It would look like the body you have now, basically.
We'll recognise one another. Yes. There's something about us that's... This is the amazing thing. It's fascinating, really. But there's something about you that's uniquely you that is nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be maintained because God made you as an individual. And that's complete contrast to the Hindu idea that we all merge into a blob. You know, you just disappear, your personality's gone. The Bible makes it plain that we are individuals, created as individuals, and we'll be always individuals that are loved and cherished by God. But we won't be individuals with our sin, and we won't be individuals with our mortal bodies, and so on, yeah? And when the graves open, I perhaps ought to just explain this as well. When the graves are opened, the graves aren't the only place where the dead are stored. You knew that though, didn't you? There's bodies that are all over the place. Let me just take you to Revelation chapter 20. Yeah, Revelation 20 is there. Is it? I think it's Revelation 20, might be. Yes. Yes. Revelation 20, verse 11. I saw a great white throne. This is the judgment throne. And him who was seated on it, and that's Jesus. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and the books were opened. The dead, great and small, by the way, means the top brass aren't going to escape. And the nobodies are going to be there as well.
Yeah.
Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done.
Hades is
the abode of the dead. The state where the dead spirits are kept. Because aren't in the Lord, yeah? Let me just take you back to the bodies, though. We'll leave the spirits behind for a while, yeah? So the sea gives up the dead that's in it, right? And the graves give up the dead that are in them. But I've got news for you. The body that you have now, if you take the chemicals that make up your body, the carbon, the hydrogen, the calcium and all of that, we recycle those all the time. You know you're losing skin all the time.
Mm-hmm.
A bit of your body's worn off today. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So in 10 years, the chemistry that made up your body then will be different to what it is now. Your body, is probably somewhere in the cabbage field or something like that now, you know? Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah?
Yeah?
Your chemistry is churning over all the time.
Yeah?
Yeah? And so, when the people are thrown into the sea, or the fish eat them, or the fire burns their bodies, or whatever, all is left is the dust. How is God going to reconstruct a body from that?
Because he can do anything.
Now, yes, that's the ultimate answer, isn't it? Let me offer you this. This is my explanation anyway, yeah? It's not your chemicals that make you, you. Yeah? It's not your chemicals that make you you, because your chemicals are going to be different next year than what they are today. What makes you you is the way the chemicals are put together. Right? So it shapes your nose and your eyes and your ears and your hair and all that sort of stuff.
What,
the way your chemicals are put together is what makes you you. And what makes you you is the blueprint, that we say the DNA for our bodies, isn't it? It's the blueprint with the information that says how it's put together. And God has a big book with the blueprint of Tony in there. This is how Tony's been put together. So it doesn't matter, or Dennis, yeah? So I'll talk about it. It doesn't matter if they blow me up, chop me into 1,000 pieces, and fry me. It will make no difference. The blueprint for Dennis is there, and God can use any chemicals around the world to rebuild a resurrection body. Yeah. So, you know, when people say, oh, he's been swallowed by a fish, that's the end of him. No, it isn't. Yeah? So when the grave's open, Jesus is going to reconstruct. It's a new creation. In many ways, isn't it?
Well, we're dead.
Yeah. So, the thing about this is really important, is that what he's saying is that as human beings, we're meant to be spirits in bodies. We're designed for that. And so, in the new heaven and the new earth, we have spiritual bodies that are homes for our living spirits. Yeah?
So, no, is it reunited?
Reunited, yes. Yeah,
the body and the
spirit. But the body that's reunited is a brand new resurrection version of you.
That's for everybody. Those who are in Hades and those that.
Oh, we're coming to this right now. Wait for this. Yes, the next bit is. Yes. Right. Do not. The graves will hear his voice. Is that amazing for a start? Yes. When Jesus says, "Come out," yes, they're all coming out. Yeah. And those who have done good will rise to live. And those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Right, so, when he says that there's going to be a separation, we read that in Matthew chapter 25, sheep and goats, they stand before the throne with their resurrection bodies, but those that have done evil, that are not God's people, are sent to hell. Yeah? Those that have done the right, go to heaven. So that means you're going to be judged ultimately on whether you've been a good boy or girl or not. Is that right?
No.
Well, it says you judge according to what you've done.
Covered by the blood.
Ah. Yeah. Well, yes.
Is that the done that you've accepted? Does it mean done in that you've accepted?
Oh. Well, let me take you to Matthew 25 then.
Right.
Matthew 25. Matthew 25. It's verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. Judgment. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" And he will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." And they will go to the eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Now then, they're judged on what they've done, aren't they? Yes? They did this or they didn't do that. The rewards are based on what you've done. Yeah? Rewards are based on what you've done. But, and this is the big thing, why did they do what they did?
That, the attitude and everything.
Yes, was because some were sheep and some were goats. Some what makes a sheep, and what makes a goat, a goat?
Well, you do it with the attitude to the glorification.
Oh, that's the work side of it. What makes a difference between, because I've got news for you. You were all born goats.
Yeah.
Yes? What makes a goat into a sheep? It's faith in Jesus. Right? It's faith that changes your nature, and the nature which God has changed by faith now begins to work by faith to do the good deeds that get the rewards. Yeah?
And what about as well, the Lord also, I think what is hard sometimes is, you know, you have different periods, this thing, and he's keeping your eyes on what the Lord has got for you to do and not further as well. It's so hard sometimes, isn't it?
Well, that's true. I want to take you to another passage.
Can I just ask a question?
Yes? Are you worried now?
No, it's not. It's just something that happened in the house group the other week at Daniel's.
Right.
I was sort of saying what you were just saying.
Yes.
And it kind of got, no, that's not right. Because I know that that's what it says in here.
Right.
But it's kind of like, what about if somebody says that they, you know, they're a Christian.
Yes.
But doing this, they're not doing it because they're selfish.
Yes.
And they're not doing this and they're not doing that and they're saying, I know Jesus and blah, 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 but actually, you know, and they're actually not doing
the stuff that God's called them to
be.
The good works prepared beforehand, yeah?
Yeah, so where does that come in on this?
Right, well, it doesn't come in on this, but it comes in 1 Corinthians chapter 3.
Okay.
Right. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. We found it.
Yeah.
For by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now he's using building words rather than animal words, sheep and goats, yeah? Mm-hmm. What he's saying is that the building starts by building on Jesus. Right? That's what makes you a sheep. Right? But this is the building bit. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames. In other words, if you become a Christian, I believe in Jesus, and say, I'm doing nothing until I get to heaven, he'll say, I'm going to just set fire to all you've done, and it's all gone. You're saved, but you've got the smell of smoke on you.
Yeah, so that's what I was trying to get at.
Yes.
I was kind of put down as such as, it doesn't matter what you do now, as soon as you believe, it doesn't matter, you believe and you're saved. And I said, yes, we're saved, but... Yes. You must do the good. It's the good work that comes into it. Because then when we go, you know, when we are judged on Judgment Day, it's important for him to say, okay, faithful servant, you've done
well.
This,
done.
You've done well, yeah.
Well done means you've done well.
You've known me, but actually, what have you done for me?
Exactly.
It was kind of hard to verbalise that.
But he's the judge. You know? We're not. He's the judge.
Yeah. He judges the quality of our work, yes.
If we look at others and see.
Yeah, all right, yes, yeah.
Then, you know,
yeah.
But it's not looking at
the judgment. Look at what people do. It's actually saying we should all be doing.
Well, I look at some non-believers, probably doing things I couldn't.
Yes, they may be, but if they're doing them in faith, Ron, that's the issue, right? Let me just, there's one more verse, I've tried to find it, you've caught me on my hop here, I haven't looked it up. It's in Ephesians, I thought it was in chapter 1. It says, for we are God's workmanship. Whereabouts is that? Is it chapter 3? It's Ephesians, it's definitely Ephesians. Where is it? thought it was.
Nine.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Yes. That's it. Verse chapter 2, verse 10 of Ephesians. Right. This is the blueprint for the Christian life. Yeah. This is how it's got to be. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. So you're saved by God working in your heart to make you one of His children. You're God's. One translation puts it: you're God's masterpiece. Is that lovely, eh? Yeah? You're God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus, to be like Jesus. Why has He created you? To put you on the shelf and say, isn't that nice? No. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So He saved us to serve. Get that? He saved us to serve. If you ain't serving, you won't be getting well done, good and faithful servant. Because servants serve. Yeah.
Yeah, but Danny, I mean, you have to listen to God, don't you? Because what is serving? Cleaning up your own home,
yes,
that God has blessed you with, or going out and doing all sorts of things.
I'm not talking about super spiritual preaching and all that sort of stuff. Jesus gives us examples of what serving is in Matthew 25.
Yeah, yeah.
It's feeding somebody when they're hungry. Yeah. Looking after somebody when they're in a bit of a sorry old state.
To your husband, yeah. Bringing, you know,
those are the kind of things that God says are worth having. And He uses one example, cup of cold water. Right? Cup of tea gets even more points.
See?
That's what they bring them, they're getting points.
You get the idea. What I'm trying to say is, though, that the judge, at the day of judgment, for us, it's not a judgment to condemnation, but it's judgment for reward. And the rewards are based on what you've done. The books are opened, and the deeds that you've done are going to be measured by how Jesus says, whether it's wood, hay, stubble, or gold and silver.
It doesn't make any difference what you do publicly.
No. That doesn't count. Yeah. No, that's not an issue at all.
Right.
No.
It doesn't affect your salvation.
It doesn't affect your salvation. He says he will be saved as though through fire. The one that's wasted his life, he still survives because he put his trust in Jesus, but that's all he's got. He's got nothing to show for it, which is a sad state. Yes?
I was just going to say, you know, some of us before we were saved didn't do anything, but it wasn't until we were saved that we realised...
The good works begin!
And that's where our works comes in.
Yes, and you're not saved by your works, that's the point. The foundation is Jesus. You build on Jesus. If you haven't got Jesus, whatever you build, you're going to fall down.
Yeah.
So, back to John. Honestly, the scriptures all key together. Everything fits, you know, that's the way it works. Yeah.
And then, but you say that there will be reward. So you'll be saved or not saved, and then there will be reward.
Rewards.
So do you think when we're in heaven, we'll recognize those that have been rewarded and those that haven't been rewarded?
Yes.
No.
No.
Would we? Surely that would make a class. System place, wouldn't it?
It's not a class system, but there are rewards. Jesus makes it quite clear. On the other side, sorry, what? Judgment is on the good works that God's done in you and through you.
But it's a...
Not of you, in that sense, yeah.
I mean, Jesus showed an example of a service.
Yes.
And he washed people's feet.
Yes, yeah. There are degrees of reward, there's no doubt about that.
And we will be aware of it?
I have no idea. I'll just give you one example, it's an interesting one. We'll all be humble. We'll all say, well, they did well because they sought the Lord and did it with all their hearts. Someone asked John Wesley about a chap called George Whitfield. I don't know if you know about the Methodist preachers in the 1600s, 1700s. And George Whitfield and John Wesley split over a theology on certain things anyway. Yeah. And so they did different things. They went different ways. And George Whitfield died before John Wesley. John Wesley lived a long life. And some of John Wesley's followers came and said to John Wesley, when they'd heard George Whitfield died, they said, do you think we'll see him in heaven? I mean, believe that, eh? That shows how partisan their thinking was. And Wesley said this. He says, no, I don't think we'll see him in heaven. He'll be so near the front, we won't get a look in. Now that's grace, isn't it? Yeah. So I don't know, but let me tell you the other side. There are not only degrees of reward for doing good; there are degrees of punishment for evil. Because Jesus talked about when the boss comes back and the servants have been messing about, he says those who have been messing about more will be beaten with more stripes than those who have been messing about less. Yeah. So there are degrees of punishment. the hottest place is reserved for Satan, I'm sure. Oh, okay. And just one more thing to say is, hell was not invented for man. We read about it in Jesus' words. Hell was designed for Satan and his demons. Right? It's just human beings managed to get themselves caught up in it as well. Yeah.
To my mind, Dennis, if you need with that, you have to keep in love with Jesus, or when you sort of really find him and he offers him to yourself.
Yeah.
Because if you didn't try and keep close to him and love him, you could get so frightened by that you wouldn't do anything.
Yes, yeah.
You know,
you've got to love him.
You know, the more and more.
Yes. Our motivation, I want to say that the other thing about the works that we do, our motivation should never be for collecting points. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our motivation is because he's worth serving. We love him. Yeah. Right? And I'm doing good works that Father's prepared beforehand, yeah, because that's how I function. I'm meant to be like that. I'm at my best when I'm serving Jesus. That's how we're meant to be, yeah? All right.
Well, as you say, a teacher that misleads will face...
He's going to face more severe punishments, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. To whom much is given, much is required. Same idea again. Let's get back to John chapter 5. We've done everything now. Right, yes. The time is coming.
It's a very touchy subject.
Right, verse 29. When those who have done good will rise, you understand it now, those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing, I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. So Jesus is judging according to the plan and the rule and the mind of God. Yeah, and so he's doing it right. And then he talks about himself. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. Well, his testimony is valid. What does he mean, his testimony is not valid? He says they won't believe it. Whatever he says about himself, they won't accept it, that's for sure. Yeah. Yeah. But also, in a court of law, you need two witnesses. Yeah, and Jesus is going to bring that up.
An advocate.
Yes, right. Anyway, there is another who testifies in my favour, and I know that his testimony about me is valid. Who's the other? His Father. God is testifying about Jesus, yes? Right? And then we'll see what he means by that, yeah? You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Who's the John we're talking about?
Baptist.
It's John the Baptist, yeah? He said, you saw John turn up, and he testified to the truth. What did John say? Look, the Lamb of God, the Messiah. Yes? Right, so that was John's testimony. Jesus says, not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. He says, if you don't believe me, believe John. At least get your heads right. Yeah? I'm wanting you to be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time, to enjoy his light. So John was just a lamp. Yeah? That's all he was. Jesus is the light. Yeah? That's different. I have a testimony weightier than that of John. Right? So he says, I'm just quoting John because you thought he was alright, sort of thing. But I've got far better backup than John. Right? The very work that the Father has given me to finish, which I am doing, testifies that the Father has sent me. So Jesus is saying is the miracles, the words, the things that he's doing are evidence, if you've got eyes to see, that he's operating under God's direction. Yeah? That's Jesus. Yeah. What he's doing, what he's saying, I mean, people found it all the time. No one ever spoke like this one. You know? And we've seen Nicodemus. He says, you must have come from God, because nobody can do the things you're doing if God hasn't sent him. Yeah. So we've got the idea. So he's saying, what I'm doing, Father is saying, that's God's word behind it, God's testimony, right? And the Father has sent me, has testified concerning me. When did he do that? At his baptism.
This is my beloved.
Well, his works and all that. But at his baptism, they heard the voice. Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Yeah? Okay? So the Father has sent me, has testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice nor seen his form. No, they're completely out of it as far as God's concerned, yeah? Nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent.
Jesus is
yes.
the word.
Yes, if they don't believe Jesus, God's word doesn't dwell in them. It's not part of their being, yeah? You diligently study the scriptures. Yeah. Now there's differences of translation here. Some say search the scriptures and you'll find out. But I think Jesus is really saying is, here you are, you guys study your scriptures from morning to evening, you've learnt them off by heart, you quote them like a parrot, but you've no idea what they're on about. That's the problem. And brothers and sisters, there's a warning for us. Do you read your Bibles? Mm-hmm. Yeah? You do. You read your Bibles. Oh, they read their Bibles as well. He says, you diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. Yeah? Well, they'll help your life, won't they? If you're reading the Bible correctly. He says, but these are the scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Let me say this. If you don't find Jesus or the love of God or fellowship of the Holy Spirit in your Bible readings, then you're not really feeding on it. Yeah, somewhere in there God can reveal himself. Yeah, that's the important bit about it. I mean, there are some bits that are pretty grim and gory and rather, you know, but it reminds us of the holiness of God, the justice of God, and his judgments to come. So they're always, but let me ask you this, my own personal experience. Before I became a Christian, I had read the Bible a bit. Had you read the Bible before you became a Christian? Or maybe you were so young you don't remember?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And what was the Bible like before you became a Christian?
It was interesting.
You found it interesting? Ah, well, the Lord was at work with you then, you see.
Just stories.
Yeah, just stories.
I didn't really understand it.
Didn't understand it, no. But then when the light began to dawn, wow, it's a different book, isn't it? Yes. Things begin to start jumping out at you. You think, wow, I never saw that before.
Well, I think even the stories are interesting.
They are. They're good stories.
Yeah, I mean, when you hear that, I mean, I don't mind. When you hear the Christmas stories and you hear them as children,
yeah,
and you read them out, like, whatever,
yes.
I think anything like that, and you heard the rhythm if people read them right,
yeah,
and they went in and they were wonderful.
Yeah, it's some people appreciate the Bible. Yes, I've met people like this. I've seen them on telly. They appreciate the Bible for the literature that it is. It's beautifully written. AV particularly.
Yeah.
It was the AV was translated, not just to be read, but to be heard. They made sure they chose the right words, the right flow, so it would be good on the ear and to be able to remember it. Yeah, and a lovely example of that. Jean and I listened to the Easter service from King's College yesterday evening. Yeah, and as part of the service, they had three guys singing, it was playing song, but they were singing John's Gospel as part of the resurrection account, and or Jesus' crucifixion as it was at that point in time. And all they were doing was singing the AV. But because the language is so beautiful, it was music.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I couldn't remember that.
But that's artistic.
Yeah.
People can enjoy the artistry and the just the lovely sounds and things, but the light, when Lord switches it on, is different.
Well, I'm not wrong, but I mean, I can remember that bit, you know, when the three wise men came from the east and they came to worship it.
Yeah.
And something, you know, it felt more than just, you know, it felt more than...
Well, I would suggest that response shows that the Lord's doing things in your heart.
Mm.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah, when we're responding to the word like that, God's at work in us. I mean, remember Jean, my dear Jean, when she was becoming a Christian, God was at work in her, and she went to France with a group of school kids, right, and she took her Bible with her, and she read it and read it and read it, because now it was alive.
Mm.
Before, just a book. Yeah. So, you can read the scriptures, and you can know it back to front, but if it ain't got life, you haven't got life. That's the issue, yeah? You refuse to come to me and have life, because Jesus is the one. Now then, verse 41. I do not accept praise from men, but I know you, and I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. Yeah, so, Jesus, what? Does Jesus accept praise from men? What does he mean? He does accept our praises, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He receives our praise. What does he mean then, I don't accept praise from men? I don't need you buttering me up, basically, you know. I don't need your stuff to say, you know, I'm alright or not, yeah? Yeah, basically, that's what it's about. I know what you are. I know you do not have the love of God in your hearts. So Jesus is actually claiming to be a judge over them already. He can read what's going on inside them. Yeah? I have come in my Father's name and you do not accept me. Yeah, that's the tragedy of it, yeah? Mm. But if someone else comes in his own name, you'll accept him. Any old Tom, Dick or Harry who comes along with the latest theory, yeah, well, he's alright, isn't he? Yeah, but not Jesus. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God? He says, here you are, wanting to sound nice in front of your mates, and everybody to please and butter you up and all that sort of stuff. He says, but the thing that counts, does God please with it? Yeah, that's what it's about, yeah. And then, this is the killer blow for them. But do not think I accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses. Now they were saying, you know, you're upstart, Jesus, you know, we've got Moses. Yes, we follow Moses. And Jesus says, well, I'm afraid Moses isn't on your side. If your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set, if you believe Moses, you would believe me. Yeah? For he wrote about me. Yeah? But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? Yeah? Moses wrote about Jesus, is that right? Did he? Well, Jesus said he did, so it must be true. Do you know where Moses wrote about Jesus? Ah, well, I'd have loved, honestly, I'd have loved. Well, let me just take you to Luke, the last chapter of Luke. Yeah. One of my favourite chapters, this one. Luke chapter 24, on the road to Emmaus. Yes. And verse 25, Jesus said to them, how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. Yeah? That's that. And then we go to the end of the chapter where he appears to them, all the disciples. And verse 44, this is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms. Yeah, and for you people that are aware of it, yeah, when Jesus says the law, the prophets and the Psalms, you know what he means. He means the entire Old Testament. If you look at the back of the front page of a Jewish Bible, it's broken into three groups: the law, the prophets and the writings. Yeah, Jesus is saying, as he went through every book and said, ah, about me, that bit. Yeah, well, that's about me as well. We've done this, the Christology, you know?
Yeah.
Right. But one of the nice ones, I'll just take you, I'm going to finish with this one here. If you believe Moses, you believe Jesus. And he's saying, is you think you've got Moses on your side? Well, you're sadly mistaken, right? Deuteronomy, right at the end of Deuteronomy. And we have, I can find it. It refers to, I believe it's chapter 18, about the prophet. Moses talks about a prophet who's going to come that's like Moses, and the people have got to listen to him. That's the prophecy of Jesus, of course, yeah? And then, right at the end, this is written after Moses' death. Moses didn't write this bit. Deuteronomy 34. Yeah. This is a summary that probably Joshua put in at the end, yes? Right. Verse 10 of chapter 34. Since then, no prophet in Israel has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those miraculous signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. Right? So, up to this time, Joshua's writing, the prophet that Moses talked about hasn't appeared yet. Yeah? Mm-hmm. And it's going to be another 1,000 or so years before that happened. Yeah? Then you read, it's in the Gospels, I think it's in John's Gospel, where the disciples that have met Jesus, they go to their brothers and say, we found the Messiah, the one that Moses talked about. Yeah, that's what they mean. It's the prophet, he's finally turned up. Yeah. So, if you believe Moses, you'll find Jesus there. That's good news. You can read your Old Testament, you know, and it's relevant. Yeah, it's all about God at work, His judgments, His grace, His mercies. I'm reading Leviticus at the moment. I just finished with this. Yeah, I always say finally, you know. I'm reading Leviticus at the moment, and that can be a pretty grim book. Bits of blood, gore, bones and stuff and everything else. But behind it all, it's the sacrificial system that God's laying down in order to teach us that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. Yeah? And the point being is that somebody's got to pay. If you're going to pay, you'll pay forever. But if Jesus pays, he's dealt with. So, we leave his testimony about himself. Father backs him up. Jesus is going to judge us. Let's make sure he's got something good to judge, eh? That's the good news, you know. When we use the term judge, and we think a judge is going to condemn, but a judge can acquit as well. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's what Jesus will do, and we seek to serve him with all our hearts, eh? Let's pray, dear friends. We've given you a lot to think about tonight, have we not?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Lord, we are amazed at the way you're working out things in our lives, Lord, and well, whether we understand or grasp everything, Lord, thank you, we can just trust you. We don't need to know everything, Lord, and the truth is we don't know everything. You're the Lord, you're the one that knows all things. And Lord, we come to you and say, like Peter, Lord, you know everything, you know we love you. And we pray we may be genuine in that, Lord. And Lord, seek to do the things that you want us to do, and to be the kind of people you want us to be. Lord, it's not about trying to impress others. Lord, just do the little things, the ordinary things, the everyday things, as we do it for you. Lord, thank you. You don't miss a thing. You see it all. Lord, even if there are rewards, Lord, help us not to look at what we're going to get, but who we have in you already. Lord, help us to love you, and in loving you, serve you. We ask it, Father God, in Jesus' name.